Well, thank you for joining us today for the program where you are going to hear the Word of God. And I believe that God's Word has power in it to set captives free. When you hear the Word of God spoken, it's not like just ordinary language coming to you from another human being. God's Word is spirit, and it is life. And it actually has power. I call it like when somebody is sharing the Word with you, it's like little pellets of power coming into your brain. And so today I want to talk about the mind and thoughts and the power that they have in our lives. And yes, I teach a lot about the mind. I've written several books on the mind, but I just felt in my heart that it was time for a little refresher course. You know, sometimes even though we know something, it can kind of slip into the background and we need to maybe be prompted to bring it forward again. So even though you have heard lots of teaching on the mind, how many of you still would say that you still have a little problem with your mind from time to time? This is one teaching that never gets old. So 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare, so right away we find out we're in a war and that we have weapons, are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are not guns and knives and bombs and things like that, but we have weapons against Satan, who is our enemy, but they are spiritual weapons. And these weapons are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Now, a stronghold is an area where the enemy digs in and hides himself, makes it hard for you to get to him. Well, Satan does that in our minds, and he's had a long time to work at it. He'll tell people lies and kind of bury himself in those lies, and then we end up believing things that in reality aren't true. But the thing about it is whatever you believe becomes your reality. So, for example, if you believe that it's too late for you to have a good life, then that disables you from even trying to ever have a good life. But yet God's Word says that it's never too late for a new beginning. So we have to make our minds up what we're going to believe. Are we going to believe what the world says, what people say, what we think, what we feel? Or are we going to make that decision that every person has to make if they want to live in victory? I don't care how I feel or what I think or what other people say. I am going to believe God's Word. Even if it seems totally ridiculous, I am going to come to God like a little child. And you know, you take a little child, you can tell them just about anything and they'll believe you. And so we need to come to God like little children and just believe His Word and His promises, even though it may not make much sense to us. Now, we're in a war. We have these weapons. They're not physical weapons, so what are they? Well, the Word of God is actually a weapon. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And so when we speak the Word, the enemy has to back down. If you're familiar with Scripture, which doesn't really matter if you are or you aren't, but there are scriptures in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus was taken out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And there are four separate occasions in the first few verses where Satan said to Jesus, it's exactly how it puts it, Satan said to Jesus, and he told him a lie. And Jesus said to the devil, and he quoted back the Word. So the enemy lies to us, and we have a great weapon, a great tool available to us, and that is the Word of God coming out of our mouth. Now, it doesn't even say that the devil said to Jesus and Jesus thought. It says the devil said something to him and he said something back. Now, maybe some of you would feel funny about talking out loud to yourself. Well, to be honest, you do it all the time anyway. You may not realize that you are, but you do. Well, that was stupid. Well, I'm dumb. Well, this is never going to work. And so we do talk out loud to ourselves, and we need to learn how to speak the Word of God. Now, verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments, theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. So he's saying, we use these weapons to come against the theories and the reasonings and the arguments that come into our mind. Can I tell you something? Satan will argue with you. He likes nothing better than a good mental battle and just arguing with you. And he really loves reasoning. Boy, if he can get you just to try to figure stuff out, man, there goes your peace. There goes your joy. And you know what? I recall one time years ago when God put this in my heart, because I was I was like addicted to reasoning. You know, I had to feel like everything was in a box somewhere. I got it all figured out. We like to think we've got everything all figured out in life because it makes us feel safe. You know, hanging out with God's a little dangerous because you never know exactly what he's going to do or when he's going to do it. So that's why trusting him is so important, because we have to trust that because he's good and because he loves us, he'll do the right thing at the right time in the right way. And so I was really big on reasoning. And the Lord just put this in my heart. He said, you know, the little mailbox slots that you have at your office sometimes. And so if they want to get something to you, they'll put something in your slot. Well, sometimes people will get, or they were supposed to get something, they didn't get it because it was put in the wrong slot. Well, God spoke to me, and I kind of had this mental picture of those mailbox slots. And he's, you know, today those are probably not as prevalent because we have email and, you know, all that stuff. But that was the system we used to work on. And he said, you've got everything in a nice little slot, so that makes you feel comfortable. But the problem is you got a lot of stuff in the wrong slot. And so it's interesting how if we think we've got it figured out, that we feel comfortable, even though most of the time what we think we've got figured out about what God's going to do really isn't right at all. I'm sure most of you are finding that out, right? And so Satan loves to argue with us. He loves to fill our mind full of reasoning. Inasmuch as we refute arguments, theories, reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. So I'm either going to be led by my head or I'm going to be led by my spirit. We lead every thought and purpose away captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. Not some, every. Thoughts turn into actions. Thoughts turn into words, behaviors, attitudes. I wrote a book called The Mind Connection to show that our thoughts are connected to everything else that we do in life. So if you feel like you need a change in your life, it's never going to happen until you change your thoughts. Amen? And so then a lot of people think, well, I can't help what I think. Well, actually, that's not true at all. That's what the enemy wants us to think. He wants us to think that we can't help what we think. But see, if we realize that the mind is the battlefield, another book, the mind is the battlefield, and that's where Satan wages war with us, and if we know enough of the Word of God to begin to recognize what's true and what are lies. See, it's kind of like, you got to take the time to understand this. I mean, how many years did I believe that I had no future and no hope because I'd been sexually abused by my father for so many years? I just thought I was a piece of second-rate merchandise, and I actually planned that I would have to have a second-rate life. I would just have to be satisfied with a second-rate life. Well, I had nothing to compare it to because that was all I knew. I had years and years and years of wrong thinking. And can I tell you something, and I don't mean to be insulting, but many of you watching today, you believe a lot of lies. You may be even basing your life on those lies. And the only way you're ever going to know what's true and what is a lie is if you become a diligent student of the Word of God. And a lot of people think they can't understand the Word, but that's really not true. You might need a translation of the Bible that's a little easier for you to understand. You might need some help from a good Bible teacher. But God did not leave us instructions for our life and say, oh, and by the way, you're not going to be able to understand any of them. So just get one of these books, put it on a shelf somewhere, go to church once a week, and everything will be okay. Someday, in the sweet by and by, you'll get to go to heaven. But that's not the life that Jesus died for us to have. He wants us to know him and the power of his resurrection that lifts us out from among the dead, even while we're in the body. So Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So I say it a little different way. Where the mind goes, the man follows. And probably most of us can relate to this. I can tell you, if you sit around and think about a hot fudge sundae long enough, it's amazing the lengths you'll go to go get one. Come on. Has anybody ever gotten dressed at night when you were already settled down and went to the store to get something that you had your mind on eating, whether it's, yeah, see, whether it's potato chips? Well, I don't go, but I've talked Dave into going. And woman power, I love it. And so it's true that whatever we put our mind on will turn into action. Now, if you want to do the word, a lot of people study the word, but then they have a hard time getting it into their behavior. I was actually just talking with somebody about that this morning. You know, I believe this stuff. I want to change. I pray about changing, but I keep doing the same dumb stuff over and over. What's my answer? Well, it's really found in a couple of things. Number one, spending time with God, because you can't change just by trying. But also meditating on the Word of God. And meditate means to think about over and over, or even to mutter quietly under your breath. And so David said he meditated on the Word of God day and night. In other words, it's not just good enough just to go to church and hear somebody preach the Word. You have to get so full of the Word that thinking about the Word and meditating on the Word and speaking the Word becomes just such a part of you that it's very difficult to separate it. Joshua 1:8, Joshua was facing something huge. He had been given the job of replacing Moses. Who would want that job? And now it was up to him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. They're getting ready to go forward, and this is what God says to him. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that's written therein. So how are we going to do it? After we've meditated on it long enough that it becomes revelation to us. You know what we do a lot of times? We try to survive on information. And boy, there is so, we live in the information age. I mean, there is so much coming at us that we rarely ever stick with one thing long enough to ever get a victory in that one thing. And so I think that we can take information, which is great, and if we meditate on it and we study it and we pray about it, the more we marinate over it, the more it gets down into our spirit and becomes part of us, to where then you're not just reacting to outward stimulus, but you're actually acting on the Word of God, because it has become greater in your life than the things coming against you. Meditate on it day and night, that you may do according to all that's written in it. For then after you've meditated on it, then you will make your way prosperous, you will deal wisely, and you will have good success. Amen. Now, Romans 12:2, absolutely wonderful, amazing scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, entirely changed by the renewal of your mind. So we can be totally changed from the inside out. Any change that tries to take place from the outside in never works. That's why behavior modification alone never works as far as bringing a believer into victory. You got to have a heart change. There's got to be a nature change. And so when we're born again, God does give us his nature. We get a new heart and we get his spirit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But if this is a good way to say it, this is the way I understand it, and the way that I teach it is that everything that God gives us, I believe that it comes in a seed form. We have a seed of everything that God is in the womb of our spirit. But just like when a woman becomes pregnant with her husband's seed, She has to take care of that seed. She has to nurture it. There's certain things that she can't do, some things she needs to do. And then over a period of time, it grows into a child that she gives birth to. Well, I believe that the Word of God is the seed that the sower sows. And that Word of God really is, it touches every area of our life. Can I tell you something? I don't know what it is you think about the Bible, but I can tell you, you do not have a problem that the Bible doesn't have your answer for. All we really need to do is understand it. You know, the Word of God, it's always spiritual, but it is so practical. I mean, it covers everything, how to think, how to talk, your behavior. I mean, absolutely everything, relationships, and on and on and on. So he says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't try to be like the world says you ought to be, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. I can just tell you one thing, that if you just took this one thing and you meditated on it for a long time, that can be life-changing, and that is, God loves me. And he loves me just the way I am. And that's so hard for us to believe. We think, well, maybe he'll love us when I can change and be better. But the truth is Jesus died for us while we were still yet sinners. So how much more now, surely, will he love and care for us if before we ever cared about him at all, he died for us. And I like to tell people this, and I get some really funny looks when I say it. But do you know God will never love you any more than he does at this moment right now? You're responding about the way most people do. And you guys know quite a bit about the Word. Just imagine if I'm trying to tell that to somebody who is maybe just been born again a short period of time. Because we think, well, when I behave better, God's going to love me more. But the truth is love is not something God does. It's who he is. So he just loves you, and I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to accept that by faith. Even though you're like me, you might not be very lovable. God loves you anyway. And the things that you learn to do right, God doesn't love you any more now because you're doing more right. We don't try to have right behavior in order to get God to love us. The more we know how much he loves us, the more we fall in love with him, the more out of that new life we want to do to please God. But not because we think we have to, but we are so amazed at what he's done for us that we want to live our whole lives loving him and pleasing him. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. And here it comes. So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God has a perfect will for us, and we hear about it. We hear messages about it. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be peaceful. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to meet your need. But it seems like there's a great gulf many times between what we hear and then what we actually experience in our lives. And so the way that I've come to understand it is everything, every promise in here is mine. But it's kind of like, if this is a good way for you to understand it, it's like this is what I have legally. Jesus bought this for me with his blood, and it's mine. But I may not have it yet fully in my experience, but even though I'm not experiencing all of it yet, it's still mine. And the only way I ever will experience all of it is by continuing to believe it is mine. Irregardless of how I act, I am a new creature. God's seed is in me. I want to do the right thing, and I may not be where I need to be yet, but I'm pressing on every day, and every day I get better and better in every way. But God loves me just as much right now as he would if I could manifest 100% perfect behavior. You know, if any of you have any money that you think might be left over when you die, you've left it to your children in all probability. I know I have. Well, legally, on paper, they've got my money, but they're not experiencing it just yet. And so it's the same way in our relationship with God. It's ours. It's a signed deal. It's signed and sealed in the blood of Jesus. And now, if one of my children just blew me off, didn't stay in relationship with me, didn't care about me, then there might be a little problem there. But as long as you continue to love God and to want His will in your life, what does the Bible say? All things work together for good. Not to those who have perfect behavior, but to those who love Him and walk according to His will. When you love God and you want His will, you love Him and you want His will, you love Him and you want His will, there is nothing in your life that can happen to you that God cannot take and work out for your good. And it's up to us to believe that. And boy, there's just so many great things. I think I've got time for maybe one more. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Now, if it's 22 through 24, that means 23 is in there somewhere. But I'm going to start by reading you verse 22 and verse 24, and then I'll tell you what's in the middle. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. So basically he's saying, stop acting the way you used to act before you had Jesus in your life. And verse 24, remembering, we're skipping 23 for right now, and put on the new nature. Stop acting the way you used to. And start behaving the way God wants you to behave. You've got a new nature. You're not that old man. You're a new person. Well, I want to. I've tried. And no matter what I do, I keep failing. Well, maybe you've missed verse 23. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So the only way that we can get from 22 to 24 is to constantly keep having a renewed attitude, learning more and more about the Word of God, learning more and more about the promises of God. You know, actually what you're doing when you meditate on the Word of God, or you think about it a lot, or you fill your prayers full of it, really, to be honest, what you're doing is you're getting yourself convinced that it's true. It is. Because it's like, for example, we can say, well, I trust God. But there's a real clear test about whether or not you trust God. I mean, Hebrews 4 says, those who have believed do enter the rest of God. If I say that I'm trusting God, but I'm worried, then I'm not trusting God. And see, we're never going to get where we need to be if we don't start being honest with ourselves about where we're at. So, do I really believe that God loves me unconditionally? If I don't, then I better look up about 20 scriptures on the love of God, and I need to meditate on those and meditate on those and talk about those. Something I like to do is write scriptures out in longhand, even though you got a computer. I'm still big on writing stuff on paper. Maybe it's just my age. I don't know. But it helps get it in me when I do that. And so be careful about your mind. You can cast down wrong thoughts and you can choose right ones. And you may feel like you'll never get a victory, but I can tell you that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. And anything that you won't give up on, eventually you will get the victory. Now today we're offering you the Mind Connection book. And in this book we talk about how our thoughts are connected to our behavior, our words. You know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You think about something long enough, you're going to say something. You just try thinking about somebody's faults all day and then get around them and treat them good. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But if you have somebody that's a little hard to get along with and you just find two things that's a plus about them and you meditate on those things and think about those things, you get around them and you're going to have a much easier time getting along with them. So today we're offering this book to you for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We trust you that you're going to do your best. You know, I've stood here today and I've tried to do my best to help you think right so you can actually experience the plan that God has for you. And now I trust you to do your best and just send in the best offering you can, and we would love to send you this book. Now also, we have the Mind Connection Action Plan available online. So if you'd like to get that, you can visit our website for more information. Let the favor of God give you peace today.